I am back, and this is the news, according to me. Yeah, I'm back. I'm back in the studio where I feel like I'm home. Well, not quite home. This is my home studio, but it's not my home studio. This is my regular big studio. This is the real deal. This is the professional job here. This is where it really happens. My home studio is still not quite up to snuff. It would be by now if I hadn't been traveling for so much the last couple weeks. And it looks like it may be a little bit more of that going on this month. Unfortunately, I just found out today that my schedule for the rest of the month is not going to be very podcast friendly. By the way, I'm sipping on hot peach tea with honey. And, of course, some sugar. Because it's just one of those days. I had to travel back. If you heard the late-night version of the show last night, or if you happened to catch it this morning, there wasn't a morning show, but you might have listened to last night's show because it was done pretty late. So, well, of course, I guess for those of you on the West Coast or other parts of the world, I guess that's not such a big deal, is it? I guess it doesn't really matter. You just listen to it whenever, because it's, you know, time is all relative. Time is actually a human construct. We think that because we revolve around the sun that we somehow, you know, are the owners of time. And there's this thing called time, I guess, if you want to, you know, things are finite. You live so long. But how do you measure that? We measure that based on our relative perspective and paradigm. So it's, didn't know I was going to go there. Next thing I know, I'll be talking about the speed of light and travel and wormholes. I had some wormholes once in my garden. So the fun thing about this is that I'm home for a couple days, and then I might be gone again for a few more days. And then I'll be back again, but then I might have to leave again. And the back and forth continues for a while. So possibly into next month, actually. But I will do my best to feed you, my fans, with my incredible, whatever this is. I don't have a name for it yet. I'm not sure there is a name for it. It's just me, the microphone, and a truck in the background, making a lot of noise. I left my door open here on the studio, and it's, wow, that's loud. Something going on there. Anyway, I digress. So some interesting stuff in the news. And this Cuomo thing just isn't going away. Now, I don't understand why the left initially was kind of going after him. But actually, now they have kind of backed off. One thing you'll notice about the left, especially the far left and the leftists, if the Republicans start to go after anybody on the left, they have a tendency to circle the wagons and start, you know, it's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. So. They all of a sudden they start to go easy and start to defend the Cuomo. Now, one way they're doing that is that they are, and they are definitely doing, everybody's starting to notice now that they are covering up, and I talked about this a week ago, they are covering up the nursing home scandal, which if you're not paying attention, you would not even know it exists. However, there's some people uncovering things behind the scenes that are making this even worse. I mean, there was criminal activity here going on. Some of the funding that's coming in from the nursing home scandal, it's kind of a complicated setup, the way the money was being moved around. But there was actually money payouts involved in these nursing home deaths. Now, I don't understand. I guess there was something in the bill, and nobody has really done a good expose on this. Maybe one of you guys out there who are really good at journalism unlike me. And I'm going to try to dig up some stories. Maybe I can find some I can do some education of myself. To find out what exactly is going on with the funding thing. I know that apparently when a COVID death, when something is determined as COVID death, apparently there is some extra additional funding involved. I don't know if the state gets money, if the hospital system gets money. Apparently there is something there that's going on. And this was confirmed to me today from someone who personally had this experience. This guy's son had a friend who was killed in a Jeep accident. The Jeep flipped over. Person was tragically killed. And they looked later at the cause of death on the death certificate. COVID. Now whether or not this individual had COVID at the time of the accident or not is kind of irrelevant. I mean, this person was probably, I think, late teens, early 20s. I'm not sure what the age of the person was. But this person, this definitely happened. So there was a lot of death with COVID. Now, if you've noticed, the night before, now we went from like 250,000 deaths near the end of Trump's presidency to all of a sudden 400,000 deaths the night before the inauguration. I don't know if you remember or not, but the office of the president-elect had a memorial service with a whole bunch of candles. I can't remember what the deal was with that. I think it was 400,000 deaths that they claimed in the United States from COVID all of a sudden. Now, they had to put that number up there because now we're already at 500,000. And we're going to be at 1 million here soon because they just seem to be kind of just lopping up numbers now and blaming it on Trump. Well, this is what Trump left us. And I'm convinced that they jerry-rigged the numbers on the night of the inauguration, the night before on Inauguration Eve, with the purpose of saying, well, when Trump left office, there were this many deaths. They front-loaded it. I'm convinced they did that. I'm even convinced that probably, in fact, they've done some studies now, and they've determined that only, I think, about 6% of the people who died. This was at the end of the year, end of January, I'm sorry. This study came out end of January, right near the end of January. I'm not sure when the study was completed. I think the study may have been only on numbers based on 2020, I believe. However, they had determined that only is less than 10% of the COVID deaths were people who died of COVID and no other comorbidities. In other words, there were no other contributing factors. Now, I know of a case of a man. I'm not going to mention any names, and I'm going to try to keep this from being notably known. I mean, somebody who listens who knows the story of this, they might know who it is. So I'm going to try to keep it as protected as possible. So in that case, I'm going to kind of be general about who the person is. Or I'm going to talk about the case of what happened. This individual, well-known individual in the medical community, he got COVID, about my age, in his 50s, and ended up on a vent in the hospital. That's usually not a good sign. There were very few recoveries from, and the percentage of recoveries from the ventilator were pretty minimal. Part of that is because nationwide there was a lot of misuse of the ventilators. There were poorly trained individuals in New York, for example, especially New York City, that were extremely, in my opinion, they were incompetent operating the ventilators and caused a lot of issues. And I think that there were a lot of deaths because of that. I think that that has... Many of those issues have been corrected throughout the country now. There's a lot better education on what's going on there. However, the one thing that this individual got was that he got the plasma transfusions with the antibodies. I don't know if they're T cells. They're just antibodies. Not just antibodies, but somebody's antibodies. So they got the transfusion, and he pulled out of it, and he survived. About a month later, they determined and they found out that unbeknownst to them and unknowingly, and they would never have known it had he died, he also is suffering from cancer. So you have to wonder how many individuals who have passed with the issues that they had, you know, how many of them could potentially have had an unknown comorbidity, an issue underlying that they did not know about. And we will never know about because there was never any further investigation. It was just, oh, they just died of COVID. And that's sad because that just gives us another variable in this whole disease that we don't understand. And the other thing that is very disconcerting about this whole thing is that they are marking down, as at my first initial point that I was getting into, is that they are putting down COVID as the cause of death in a lot of situations that it's not. And my understanding is that there's a money flowing from somewhere that was in the first relief bill that reimburses or helps to pay for something or something. I'm not sure what all is going on there. There's a payout. And I need to look into that more because I don't understand how that whole mechanism works or where the money goes and who gets it and how it goes and why and all that stuff, what their reasoning is for that. However, something is going on there, and this is where the funding comes back to Cuomo, because apparently there is some kind of an organization that is tied to Cuomo's campaign who gave us a significant amount of money. I assume this is to a PAC group that was a Cuomo PAC group or something of some kind like that. And whatever it was, they ended up channeling this money around, and it was supposed to be under the table. It was supposed to be kind of kept. It was done in a way that it was supposed to be kept out of the public eye. So now we're finding out that this is starting to unravel, and this is a behind the scenes thing that you probably will never hear this on any of the major leftist networks, but it is serious, and it is this is potentially criminal prosecution. Now, this is the same issue that Governor Whitmer of Michigan is going to face. I believe the governor of Minnesota had also followed suit in this same little scam, same kind of. They were basically following what the others were doing. And their reasoning behind this is what they're saying anyway, that at least in New York. The reasoning was we didn't want to fill up the hospitals. We were trying to flatten the curve and keep the hospitals from being overflowed. So we moved patients who tested positive to the nursing homes. Now, the nursing homes got reimbursed for the care. However, many of them, and they said that we can't take these patients because we're not prepared for that kind of thing. But they took them anyway. So I'm not sure how the regulations are. And I know not all nursing homes, of course, are state-run nursing homes, and I'm not sure how many are in New York, and I'm not sure what the whole thing is. I know there's state-run hospitals and county hospitals and, you know, city hospitals and, well, I don't know, whatever else kind of hospitals there are out there. So there's just a whole bunch of money flowing around because of this whole thing. I was in a discussion with a guy, just in the last couple of days about this whole thing. And it's, you know, it's interesting, the whole Fauci issue Fosse is, I'll tell you what, that guy, how do I say it? He recently said some things that, well, in fact, he said something today. Let me see if I can actually kind of read the quote here that he, one of the things he actually said. Sure, it's not coming up real quick here. Oh, there it is. Here we go. Let's see what I can find. That's going to take a while. It's probably been buried already by some other things, but there was a report out. He came in and said something at the news press conference today. And I don't see it now. Where in the world would have it gone? It has disappeared. It's all about Merkel and Merkel. Merkel? It's whatever the whole thing. The Megan controversy that doesn't matter. Just to give you some background now, there are a total now of 6 people who have come out and accused Governor Cuomo of inappropriate behavior. This might be it right here. However, this doesn't have the quote right there that I was looking for. So he made some kind of a comment about what we may or may not be able to do, something to that effect. Live press conference. Is there a response? There's that one. And there's this one. And I don't see any of the others that I was actually looking for because it's not there anymore. I wonder if they took it down. He basically made some comments about where we go, how we go forward from here, and some other things and that kind of thing. And my first reaction was, you know what? We've had enough of you. I've had it with Fosse. Who is this guy? And why does he think he can continue to tell the country what we can and can't do? It doesn't work that way. I kind of remember the quote. It was something about the science isn't clear on how to open up. We will just have to follow our gut. Something to that effect. And whose gut is it that we're following? Is it your gut there, Mr. Fosse, the one who is invested, making millions upon millions of dollars in this whole venture? This guy is not to be trusted. Now, and here's the deal. This is why at the very beginning of this whole thing, when he came out and said, no need to wear a mask. It's a false sense of protection. It's a false sense of security. It might stop a droplet, but you shouldn't have to wear one. I'm not even going to bother trying to imitate the guy because imitation is a way of flattering someone, and I'm not going to flatter this guy anymore. I want to use a word about him that's not polite, and I'm just not going to use it. It's not a cuss word, but it's just not. It's not polite. And the guy is, I'm just done with him. He comes out and makes this statement about this mask thing. Then later on, he comes out and says, well, you know, we couldn't let a lot, we needed the masks and the PPE for the first responders and the people on the front line. We didn't have enough masks. So now we have a mask. Everybody should mask up. Everybody needs to get masked now. Everybody should wear a mask. Oh, now where to? And, you know, it just makes sense. Another layer, you know, just makes sense. There'll be more protection. I want to get into that a little bit. I'm going to talk about this mask issue thing too, and the protection that it provides, because there's a lot of bad information about that as well. And there has finally been a peer-reviewed study that has come out on the effectiveness that it will be buried forever until this is, and probably until years from now. Unless they want to have another one of these. I don't see this ending. I literally, because of the new variants that are out there, supposedly now, that we're all supposed to be scared of. They're more dangerous. They're even more dangerous. Everybody's going to die. This isn't exactly the bubonic plague. This isn't exactly Ebola. No, it's we're talking about something that has, yeah, it's a very serious thing, and it is deadly. It's also, by the majority of the population, it is extremely survivable if you do get it. It's highly contagious, which is an issue. Now, having said that, he comes out and makes this statement. Then he comes out later and says, well, I only made that statement because there wasn't enough PPE. But you should be wearing a mask. Okay, here's my problem with this, Mr. Fauci. I'm not going to call you a doctor. You don't practice medicine. You lied to us at the beginning. Because the end justified the lie. You had a purpose for lying. So you were justified in your lying to us. Now you want us to believe, oh, okay, now it's different. Now we're going to believe you this time. Thank you for deceiving us the first time, because we really needed to protect our first responders and our frontline people. But now it's different. Now we got enough masks. Everybody needs to wear a mask. Everybody needs to stay shut up. No churches. You can protest. That's okay. That's fine. Protesters usually wear masks anyway. In fact, it's kind of convenient for them. Makes it harder to recognize and identify them when they do $2 billion worth of damage. But they're mostly peaceful. So now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe everything Mr. Fauci says. And here's the weird part of this. Now, I don't know if any of you noticed this, and I was discussing this with this guy last week. And it was weird that Trump didn't fire him, just flat out fire him. Now, if you did notice that initially Trump was in every news conference, every you know, press conference and update on COVID, the COVID report, kind of every morning, every day. And after a while, then he was, you know, standing right next to Fauci and Burke. And all of a sudden, he didn't talk too much to Fauci. You didn't see him in the same frame with Fauci anymore after a while. Somebody else was kind of running this show, and I'm not so sure how. I think that Trump was... I think that somehow they were able to put him on his heels in this. So I don't know who exactly was doing what with this whole thing, but it seems extremely creepy and slimy. Now, it's interesting to me that Fauci maintained his position in the change of the administration. Now, we all know that Fauci's a Democrat. There's no question about that. He's a globalist socialist. He knows that's a known fact. Documented known fact. He will say he's apolitical. He's not. He's a leftist. The things that are going on with this whole thing and Fauci being involved in it, I do not trust the man anymore. I've had it with him. I don't know why an unelected he's not even a bureaucrat. He's just, he loves to be able to say he's running the country. Basically, telling us what to do. And yet he doesn't know the science on this. He's going to follow his gut. That to me sounds like a man who has no idea what he's talking about. These are all hypotheses. Hypothesi. It's all theory. It's all conjecture. It's all. Well, let's just see what happens. And they have successfully managed to manipulate. I've gone out in the communities. I've been in, how many different states have I been in the last? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I've been in 5 different states in the last few days. And everyone's kind of, you know, crazy about putting the masks on. And I even see people walking around some areas outside with their mask on. I see some people driving in their car with their mask on still in some areas. And I see individuals that are, I see some people wearing two masks, of course. And here's the problem. Here's what's at the bottom of all this. Right now, the estimation is, and you will not hear this report anywhere. It will not be out there. The CDC has basically said they're not accepting this. And even though it's an actual study on the numbers, this is controlled situations where there were people wearing masks. The mask was shown to be between 0.5%, 0.5, not 1%, 0.5% effective over the course of, I think it was 24 hours. In other words, if you were with a group of people for 24 hours, the mask was about 0.5% effective, which is, I'm giving you the good numbers. There's a margin of error. They wouldn't say what it was. It's potentially in the negative numbers. These are groups that were wearing masks, groups that were not wearing masks, and the spread rate that we're talking about here. And over the course of 30 days, I take it back. They did a 30-day study as well as a 120-day study. So they had a 24-hour study, a 30-day study, and a 100-day study. And, controlled time limit. The mask was found to be about 1.5% effective over the course of 100 days in the common group of people. In other words, you were living with these people for the same amount of time. 1.5% at best over the course of 100 days. Now, if you break that down into terms of number, let's say you had 100 people living in the same home, or in the same building, in the same complex, in the same communal situation. Say it's a nursing home and you're all living together. And everybody is in, you got two groups, 100 people in each group. And let's say 20 people in group A who wears masks come down with COVID. In the group that doesn't wear masks, you would have about 20 people that would come down with COVID. Okay, the numbers are so minute. Let's look at it this way, because this is maybe I need to use larger numbers in order to make this actually equation actually mean anything. Let's say we had a let's say we have 1,000 people in each group, 1,000 people living in the same complex, 1,000 people on this side not using masks. 1,000 people on the other side using the mask. The spread rate, let's say that 100 people in the group that didn't wear masks got COVID. And in the other group, wearing masks, about 99 people got sick. Now, there's a margin of error there within this study. And basically what they were saying was that was the best case scenario. There was also situations where fewer people got COVID who were not wearing masks. So we're talking about something that's negligible. Now, don't get me wrong. If you want to wear a mask, or if you think it's important, or if you want to have one for your, if you say everybody that enters your business or your home or anybody around you, you want them to wear a mask, that's your business. Okay. And I'll wear a mask. I don't care, whatever. But here's the issue. We're being told that it's the magic mask. If we just wear this, we can save 50,000 lives. And what are you basing that on? How does that work? Because there is no science to back that up. It's just a random number they're coming up with. So they're coming up with this number, and then we turn around and we say that wearing two masks and wearing three masks, they talk about the effectiveness of the mask. Wearing three masks is 95% effective. Effective of what? Effective to do what? It does not increase by any significant margin what it will mean to avoid this thing, to prevent the spread. It's 90% more effective. Of what baseline and what study are you doing, and how many people do you know that were wearing three masks that never got it because they were always wearing their magic mask? And maybe it is, but maybe it's not. I don't know. Wear three if you want to. You can wear 10 if you want to. But it comes back to this other point. How do we continue to push this thing? And I don't know if you saw this video. I think I may have mentioned this the other day. Washing your hands, cleanliness, keeping yourself clean, not sneezing on people. If you don't feel good, if you think, and I know a lot of people who've said that they just felt like they had a mild cold, and next thing they knew, they lost their sense of taste and smell. It was just kind of an immediate thing. And it came up on them kind of quick because they didn't expect it. Slightly feverish, maybe a little bit, but they just thought they had a little cold. So if you're not feeling good at all, that's the time to start really watching where you're going and what you're doing. Try not to spread this thing. I think it's the people who are walking around sick that and know they're sick who are spreading. That's how this thing gets spread. And and here's the issue, the problem that we run into with this is that we seem to think the mask protects us, so we don't bother social distancing. We don't bother keeping our hands clean. And I still have to believe, and this is just my theory. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physicist. I'm not a, like Bill Nye, the science guy, is not a scientist either. He's an engineer. People don't talk about that much. He acts like he knows everything. He's Bill Nye, the know-it-all. That's what he is. So we have this sense of, well, we put the mask on, so now we're all protected. And my theory is, people are, when you talk, you spit. If you don't believe me, put a mirror in front of you, or a piece of glass, about, 4 or 5 inches away from your mouth. Go throughout the day and talk all you want. Talk and talk and talk. Talk, you don't have to talk much, just talk in a normal way. Just talk with that little piece of plastic or whatever it is in front of your face. And see how spit up that thing is at the end of the day. We spit when we talk, okay, folks? That's just the way we do it. All of that spittle, as we talk into our masks, which is another issue I'm going to get into about here in a little bit. As we talk into our masks, and all of that spit is going into the mask. It's being caught by the mask. Well, thank goodness it's being caught by the mask because it's not going out there in the world. So where is it going? It's going into the mask. And inside that saliva, inside that spit, are probably, you know, if you've been eating it all, there's also all kinds of rich nutrients that bacteria loves to grow on. I spent the last 4 days wearing a mask a lot. And my throat and my lungs feel like crud. I by the end of the trip, I develop a cough. My throat gets dry. I don't know what's going on with it. But it's you know, it's better now. It's, you know, it recovers every night when I'm not wearing the mask, and then it, you know, gets, by the end of the day, the next day, I get dry mouth again or dry throat. So, and I drink plenty of water. So don't get caught up in this idea that the mask is somehow, unless you change the mask a lot or wash it a lot, and they recommend every 30 minutes to an hour. Now, you're also breathing through this thing, so that all that spittle is getting caught by the mask. Now, I was walking through an airport, and a lady in front of me sneezed. She had her mask on. Thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness she had her mask on. And then she continued to breathe through her mask. So now, not only did the stuff just come out and go someplace and be done, it's now being vaporized. So all the stuff that's in there is now being breathed into her mask, kept nice and warm and moist. Stuff just loves to grow in nice, warm, moist stuff. And then you just keep breathing through it. So you're passing air in and out of this petri dish on your face. And it goes into a cloud around you, vaporized into extremely high concentrations of atomized air, atomized vapor, I should say. And that's the stuff that viruses live in. Viruses travel in vaporized air, vaporized liquid, I should say. It's not so much the, you know, the little spitballs that come out of your mouth when you talk. It's that now you're now vaporizing that stuff and passing, you know, dry or humid, warm air back and forth through that thing. I hope I'm making you sick, because it really is kind of sick. So that's my theory on the mask. So if you wear a mask, try to wear a fresh one often. Try not to touch it too much. Now, I have a hard time with it because, I guess because of the stubble on my face or whatever is going on there. And I, when I had my beard, I had to shave my beard off. When I had my beard, didn't seem to be quite as much of a problem. Now that I've shaved, I have this little stubble. Now, of course, after about, you know, I have to shave about every 2 hours because I have so much facial hair. I'm like a werewolf. No, actually, I only have to shave about once a week. It's just really not that bad. But I get this little stubble, and of course it's pointing down because that's the way the hair grows out of my face. Well, as I move my mouth, if I'm trying to talk, it acts like a little, I don't know, you know, those little football guys that used to vibrate around on a little, you know, little toy football games where you put your players out there and they vibrate around. Well, they'll go in one direction because their little feet thing are stuck a certain way. So that's what happens with my face. It's like football players are running around on my face. Now, it's as my mouth goes up and down as I'm talking, the mask moves down my face. It'll move all the way down to my chin if I don't do anything with it. I have to grab it and pull it back up. There's no way for me to get it back up on my nose, which is, of course, we have to cover our nose. So every time you touch it, now you're touching this petri dish of bacteria and who knows what growing in it. Then you go off and you touch a doorknob, or you just, you know, touch your phone. This believe it or not, your phone is probably the most disgusting bacterial agent in your of everything you carry around. That's your phone probably has the most issues. Now, there are little phone cleaners and stuff, and you can keep it clean. You can you know, do all kinds of, and the cases are made, so if you have it in a case, most cases are made to be somewhat resistant to retaining bacterial growth. But not every, you know, all it's going to take is for something to get on the phone, and that what's on the phone, stuck to the phone, whatever it is, maybe it's a piece of, you know, whatever, piece of food or whatever that you had, whatever drink or whatever is spilled on it. Or, you know, like in my case, I drop it in the toilet quite a bit. Not accidentally, I just do it on purpose. I just drop it in the toilet just to see if it'll work. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun game, I play. But not really, folks. Okay, can you take a joke? So you reach down in there and you pull your phone out of the toilet and you know, just whatever's on there is can now grow bacteria. So now you're touching that, you're messing around with that, and you may think your phone is clean and it's not. Or you set your phone down somewhere and then it's got, you know, whatever's on the table and whatever it's, you know, you drop it on the floor or whatever was walking across there. Just all kinds of critters out there in this world, folks. You know, and we're primarily pretty immune to this stuff, to most everything out there. There's all kinds of bacteria out there. There's all kinds of bacteria living in your body. You have more bacteria in your body than you do human cells, which fascinates me. So, but good bacteria, of course, and some bad bacteria, but you know, your body fights it off. So we have all this stuff going on, and we're messing with these masks. Now they're finding that in the Philippines, there's some beautiful reefs there that people go diving in the Philippines quite a bit. They are finding extraordinary numbers of disposable masks now, getting caught up in the coral there. And it's pretty messy. It's pretty much a mess. So this is kind of a mess going on. That's a problem. And that just gets to another point, is just that this whole thing is, you know, it's become so such a waste of material. So I'm getting kind of long in the tooth here with this particular message, but I just think that we need to stop, and you know, somebody needs to take a step here and just say, you know what, we need to have some common sense. We need to have some science behind. Everybody keeps screaming about the science, and just saying the word science doesn't make it so. It's the science. No, this is theory. It's hypothesis that we're working with here. Maybe masks work to some degree. Let's figure that out before we start having fights about it in stores. Fights are breaking out. There's a video of this lady walks into a store to get some food, like at a grocery store. She's not talking. She's by herself. She goes in to get the food. And somebody starts confronting her about the mask. You're not wearing a mask. And then she gets into an argument. And this has happened many. There's a lot of videos on YouTube about this stuff. Of course, gets into an argument with somebody. Now there's yelling and spitting going on because you're talking. Your mouth is open and you're saying stuff. There's spittle going everywhere now. A literal fight will break out. They'll start to push the person around. The person's like, I'm just going to get some food. I'm going to get out of here. It's none of my business. I'm not sick. Don't worry about it. Maybe the person has been immunized or whatever you want to call it, the vaccination that they've had. But now they're saying, well, two people who've been vaccinated can still, now you can start to visit people if they've been vaccinated. If you've both been vaccinated, you can visit people now. Oh, thank you so much. May I have some more? How about you just go do your thing and we'll do ours? Okay, just have it that way. I'm tired of it. This is not Ebola. It's not the Black Plague. You want to talk about stuff that happened where millions of people died. Millions. Half the population of Europe died in the Black Death, probably the bubonic plague. They believe it was the bubonic plague. And you know what basically has kept it from coming back? The bubonic plague, by the way, still exists, and people still get it today. You know why there's not an outbreak? It is believed it is because the personal hygiene in the world has basically changed so much that it has literally staved it off. Personal hygiene, people didn't used to take baths all the time. Most people now take showers about every day. I take one about once every couple of months when I feel like I need to, when people start complaining. But most people take one every day. Or, you know, whatever. But so, except for college students, they don't do that. They just get out of bed, put a hat on, and they go to class. And they just sit around, do nothing. I've seen college students. I know what they do. So we have this issue then of just personal hygiene. It has basically staved off an entire plague that would have wiped out half the world the way we travel around today. If we'd still live the same way. So just some common sense stuff like that is important, I think. And so that's my take. And I know that there's people that disagree with me on the mask thing, and you're free to do that. But I'm questioning it all, and I don't want to be ridiculed or belittled or made light of or get in trouble for or be censored by people because I question things. Because I question this issue. Prove it. I'm basically just saying, just please. I hope you can tell me and show me somehow that this works. Because we are masked up more than ever. Now, to the typical virology thing is that there is a peak and then there's a drop off in caseload, in cases that happen. And we're seeing that. We have seen that. Hospitals will peak, an area will peak, and then it drops off drastically. Now this particular one seems to have a flatter curve at the top. It'll plateau for a while, and then all of a sudden it just drops off. And then hardly anybody's in the hospital. And there's still the occasional areas that get it and don't and whatever. But with the rapid spread of this thing and with the unknown length of time that the antibodies live in a person, it may be actually more beneficial to let it do its thing quickly so that the population actually builds herd immunity quicker. And that way we don't have people getting it twice. Or at least not the potential for people to get it twice. So that's just my theory. But if you do the numbers, just the whole arithmetic thing on the whole thing, it's not making much sense. And then, of course, closing down the schools is ridiculous, folks. The number of children that have died from COVID, who are healthy, normal children that go to school, more kids die from the flu. More kids under 18 die from the normal flu every year, normally, not this year, than have died from COVID since COVID came to this country. Way more, in fact. It's a huge difference in the number of kids who died from the regular flu in a year. Because the flu affects young and old alike. It hits the old population, the older population, and the younger population. It doesn't hit as much in the mid-range where I'm at so much. I'm kind of at the top of the mid-range now. I'm heading headlong for the old thing. I can't wait to get there. Well, I can't wait. It doesn't matter whether I wait or not. It's coming anyway. It doesn't matter. So that's where we're at now. And that's all I'm going to say. I've eaten up the whole show with this whole thing, but I need to get all that off my chest because, I've spent the last 4 days wearing a mask pretty much. And frankly, I'm seeing a mentality form with this whole. Now, here's the other thing. There are situations I was in where there were safety things involved, where you needed to understand the person speaking.
And it sounds like this.
Now, how many of you have had been on a flight, on an airplane, and you listen to the flight attendant give the safety announcement? And it sounds something like, I don't know, something like this. Sounds something like that. Now, imagine that with a mask on. It really helps in aiding the communication. It sounds more like something like this. It sounds kind of like, Charlie Brown, the teacher, speaking.
Womp, 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 womp.
That's kind of what it's like. And now, if there's an accident and we need to evacuate the airplane for some odd reason, all you're going to hear is,
do not, and do not. You could die if more.
Okay, well, I don't understand what you said, so I guess I'll stay here in my seat with the buckle fastened the way you told me to fasten it there with your little fancy little buckle thing. So that's the way that works, and that's where I'm concerned. You know, somebody walks up to you and says, you know, hey, your hair's on fire. I would call them a liar because I don't have much hair. It wouldn't really be a fire. It would be more like a little ember that just kind of went out. But if somebody who had hair, for instance, let's say somebody has hair and their hair's on fire and somebody walks up to them and says, they're going to go, what? And by that point, their head's going to be gone because they're just going to burn right off their head. Their head's going to burn right off because they couldn't understand anybody. Of course, all that will be left of them, they'll have their head will be gone, but their mask will still be there between their shoulders. So there'll just be a mask instead of a head. So so they got that going for them. You know what? I think I'm just going to be done with this show. I've got another show tomorrow morning. I will have a show tomorrow morning, by the way. I do have a couple of appointments. I have a couple of work. So I have to. Somebody has to work around here. So I'm going to have to do something to pay for all this equipment. I guess I've already bought all the equipment, haven't I? So I need to do something with all this equipment since I have to justify buying it. So I need to do something with it. So I'm going to make a bunch of money tomorrow working. And so those of you who are... here's a question for you. Now, we've already burned through... Today was the first day of our reset on our high-speed internet. And this was at my home studio, at my home. And it's gone already. Less than a day. It's gone. I just got to notice that it's all gone. So now it throttles back to, like, really slow again. This happens every month. And I'm getting really frustrated with it. So if anybody out there has any ideas, now I have Verizon. I use Verizon internet. I do a lot of file transfers and audio files and stuff with my main office. And the question is, my home office, because my wife works from home, she does a lot of video conferencing and all that stuff. And of course, that just eats it up. Like crazy. So that's gone. And I have like half a day. I didn't even get to use it this time with the high speed. It was just, she used it all up today. So I just got home. However, my office now still has, some left. But everything I do, of course, I do a lot of audio stuff. It usually lasts for, 10 days and it's gone. But and it still works. It's just not fast. It's like 150 MPS or something like that until it gets done, and then it goes back to like 0.02 MPS. I don't, it's some ridiculously slow thing. If anybody has any ideas out there, if you work for Verizon or you don't know of a plan, let me know. Let me know what you got out there. Let me know, because I'd like to change it so that I can keep this thing going and transfer tons and tons of files all month long. That's about it for the show. We're just going to call it a show. This has been an hour-long show instead of the old 30-minute show when I'm on the road, which is what you're going to get next week for a couple days. I will be gone probably Monday and Tuesday. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's hard to tell. Okay, we got some other news coming up. There will be some other actual news coming up tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning's show will be pretty good. And tomorrow evening's show will probably be pretty good. I've got some more reports on some of the things that are going on. Like the things that are going on with Cuomo and Whitler or whatever, Whitmer and what's going on with the whole that thing. I also want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's going on in the Middle East right now. There's some interesting developments there that are not looking real pretty. Some other things that are happening around the world. So once again, thank you for listening. And I think we're just going to call this a show. That's what we're going to do. Hope you've been thoroughly entertained and provoked in thought. With the ability to keep your attention throughout the whole thing. So whatever you're doing today, whatever you're doing tomorrow, whatever you're doing tonight, whatever you've done, keep in mind that God is still on the throne. He's in control of his kingdom. And his kingdom is marching on. So we have hope. We have a place that we have a solace. We have a future and a purpose. So we'll keep moving forward. God bless everybody. Have a great evening. Have a great day tomorrow. And we will see you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, shalom.